Acts chapter 5 in your Bibles, please. Acts chapter 5. I admit this morning that I struggled a little bit in what to preach, and this happens on occasion. I have a desire of what I want to preach, and then the Lord telling me what He wants me to preach. And then I have the conflict of, well, if it's on my heart, isn't that what you led me to do? And, you know, it's just kind of a back and forth thing. It takes prayer and the time with God, and just want to get to that point where you can just have the peace that you're going in the direction that God wants you to go. And so we'll be in Acts chapter 5 and verse 16 this morning. And the idea is to get to the place where you no longer have that conflict, and you're comfortable in knowing, yes, this is the direction that God is leading today. And so we'll be in Acts chapter 5 this morning in verse 16 is where we're going to start reading. So if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's word in honor of God's word, Acts 5:16. A theme in 2024 is honor God. Every message in the morning messages in January, we are going to be going along that theme of honoring God with our lives. And we ought to honor God. Amen. And then there will be certain messages throughout the year that will come back to that on occasion as the Lord leads and directs. But as a dad, you want to honor God. As a father, you want to honor God. As a mom, as a wife, you want to honor God. As a teenager, as a child, you want to honor God. At the workplace, you want to honor God. As a grandparent, you want to honor God. You want God to be honored. As a Northwest Baptist Church, we ought to desire to honor God. Amen? And that ought to be our desire. And so today we're going to continue that thought and honoring God in faithfulness. So Acts chapter 5 and verse 16, Bible says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, everyone. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. That means they were kind of mad. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Again, they are in prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered in the temple early in the morning and taught. But the priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But they weren't there. When the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found was shut all with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. And they didn't want this getting out. So then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. So it's out. The news is out. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. I think they want to honor God. Can you get that mindset here? Their desire is to honor God. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and draw away drew away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone for this counsel or this work be of men. But for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. That's not a good idea, to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, it's like, just kind of, I love how nonchalant it is about it. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, like it's commonplace, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Honoring God and faithfulness. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Lord, we love you and I need you this morning. And I've been praying all week that you help me how to preach your word today. So Lord, I just pray also that you'd open our hearts to what you have for us and that you'd be pleased in how we respond today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for being seated. Time and time again, story after story, and we've been in Sunday school talking about the difference that God makes in your life. I'd like to encourage you to join us in Sunday School Hour. We touched on that this morning in a different way, talked about God makes a difference in our generosity. God ought to make a difference in our generosity. Amen? God's a generous God, right? He's a good grace-giving God. But we've been in Acts in a few of those messages about the difference that God makes in your life. So for some of us that have been in the Sunday School Hour, this is the tail end of an even passage we're at this morning, or it skips a little bit, but then gets to this point in Acts chapter 5, verse 16. But we see here, and we continue to see, if you would read through the book of Acts, opposition after opposition after opposition. It's almost like Satan didn't like what was going on in the growth of this new church. He doesn't like it when people get saved and start growing and start to develop, mature in Christ, and they begin to have victories over sin. There begins to be a difference, a change in their life. Satan hates that. If you've had any progress or any growth in your life for the Lord, you no longer do some of the things you used to do. Satan doesn't like that. He's mad. And so maybe there are some people in your life who don't like it either. How many of you have experienced that? There's been growth and progress, and they think you're holier than thou. You're not trying to be holier than thou. You realize you're not holy. You realize God is holy, and you would honor God, and you just have made some changes or allowed God to make some changes in your life. And it needs to happen because you know you're weak and frail, and you'll give in to temptation like I will. And I think the closer we are to God, the more help we'll have in standing against the things of this world and against the temptations that come our way. Are you with me this morning? I mean, it's not about being better than somebody else. It's about honoring God. It's about putting God first. And the Bible even says that we ought not to compare ourselves amongst each other. We ought not to do that. This is just about honoring God. It has nothing to do with you, or your honoring God has nothing to do with somebody else. And my honoring God has nothing to do with somebody else. And except that there's a byproduct of what do we honor God, we are able then to have an impact on so praise the Lord when others notice the change, right? Praise the Lord. But the change that was noticed in these Christians wasn't appreciated by some. And this group stood firm and remained faithful. They'd started living for the Lord and began continuing to live for the Lord. And I said the title of the message this morning is Honoring God and Faithfulness. But maybe we ought to just give it a simple one-word title of continue. Continue. If you've had growth, continue. If you've made progress, continue. If for some reason you've drawn nigh to God somehow and he drew nigh to you, continue that. Continue running the race that God has made in your life. And continue to be faithful. By the way, faithfulness is one of the great characteristics of the God that you serve. He's a faithful God. 1 Corinthians 1:9 and tells us that God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tell us, simply put, in these three words, God is faithful. It's just matter of fact, God is faithful. When you've not been faithful, God hasn't been faithful. When you've not been faithful to God, He's been faithful, hasn't He? When you have failed, He's been faithful. When you didn't commit to what continue in what you committed to, God continued in what He committed to. He's been faithful, and He will always be faithful. He will never fail you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and He'll never fail you in your life. He's faithful. And God's looking for faithful ones. I love Proverbs 20, verse 6. It's a great, pointed question that we ought to just consider and evaluate in our own lives, in our own hearts, where it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And that's true, right? In this world we live in, proclaim our own goodness. Then it continues, but a faithful man, who can find? It's like in Proverbs 31, talking about a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. And some would say that Proverbs 31 is written for the potential husband. No, it's written for you ladies. Going through a description of that virtuous woman. But it gives the idea of it's hard to find. And a faithful man is hard to find. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, mankind, human. God is faithful. He's looking for somebody to be faithful. It's a faithfulness is a quality that God requires. He's asking of you to be faithful. He requires it in a Christian. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 states, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And then we find in the Word of God, God's faithful. Amen? He's looking for faithful individuals. It's required. But there are blessings for faithfulness. There are blessings. Now, I want to be careful here because our theme verse for the year, 1 Samuel 2:30, the part of the verse that we've been focusing on, and we're going to get to the other part here in a little bit, or in a few weeks, Lord willing, but the part of the verse we've been focusing on, for them that honor me, I will honor. God's blessings on our life should not be the motivation for serving God, because that would be selfish. Oh, I don't get me wrong. I want God's blessings. God wants us to desire His blessings. He points out His blessings in multiple places in the Word of God for it to be something that we desire and we thirst after and we want in our lives. So don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to desire God's blessings, but that shouldn't be my motivation for serving Him, to get what I can get out of Him. I'm serving you, God, so you can do for me. No, we ought to honor God simply because He's worthy of being honored. We ought to glorify God simply because He's worthy of being glorified, because He's God. Regardless of what I get out of it, you're God. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. And so because of the fact that He's God, and by the way, that's a Christ-like mindset. He didn't give His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you because He's getting something out of that. He sacrificed His Son. It was love that he desires for it to be reciprocated, but that is unconditional love. There were no conditions on it. He loves you unconditionally. And yet there are special blessings reserved for the faithful man. Proverbs 28:20 promises this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Amen. Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, in Revelation 2, verse 10. I want to examine a little bit here in Acts chapter 5. where faithfulness is evident. But what made it up? What's the makeup of this? What are the ingredients of this faithfulness? What is the situation around this faithfulness and these men who were arrested in prison, but God blessed in great ways because of their faithfulness? So look at the circumstances, first of all, that they endured. How many of you have ever endured circumstances in your life, right? And I always like to say what we view as obstacles, God views as opportunities. And the circumstances that we face, we can't, I mentioned it last week, and my wife reminded me of Pastor Tid always saying this, when you can't change your circumstances, change your attitude. And God knows what He's doing. Maybe you've endured some circumstances in your life. Faithfulness always required endurance through difficult circumstances. Paul told the believers in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God. Here's why we're glorying: for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He told him to watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. That's a great verse to remember. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Somebody might say, well, I'd be faithful, but I can't since I have encountered such difficult circumstances. But what we need to realize is that the call to faithfulness directly implies circumstances. I mean, what were you faithful through if life was a bed of roses? You know, I mean, the word faithfulness directly implies you went through something. It required that you were faithful. It required, there was something that required faithfulness in order for you to get through it. And we sometimes forget that Jesus said, in the world, ye shall have tribulation, John 16:33. And we've already faced that, haven't we? We're going to face that. The Bible says that things will wax worse and worse as time goes on. So look at the circumstances they went through. Look at, first of all, their unfair arrest, Acts 5, verse 17. Let's look at the word of God here. It says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, because they were preaching the word of God, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. These guys committed no crime except preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet they were put into prison. They weren't disheartened. They didn't say, God's treating me unfairly. They didn't say, life is unfair. Some Christians get to the place, I think all of us maybe have at some point in our lives or another, where we become disheartened and we might even question, God, what are you doing? This is not fair. My life is unfair. Why would you allow this? But then we realize something. Am I wrong? Life is unfair by nature. Right? Well, we say it this way. That's just life. I don't mean that to be inconsiderate of anybody's problem that they're going on through. Not at all. Or I don't mean to have a lack of sensitivity, but isn't it true? That's life. Sometimes we just have to realize that. But if we want to talk about what's fair, it wasn't fair that Jesus went to the cross and bore your sin. But it was the will of God. Because God's purpose, not fairness, settles the circumstances of our lives. Jesus taught to expect unfair treatment. Go to John 15, if you would, in your Bibles. John chapter 15. This was not fair. They had an unfair arrest. All they were doing was what God wanted them to do. All they were doing was just living for the Lord. Just trying to serve Him, please Him, make Him happy. They were trying to honor God. And they got arrested. It was an unfair arrest. John 15, verse 20 says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Some people get discouraged from continuing to serve the Lord in ministry because something discouraging happened. And it might have even come from a fellow Christian. Something, I'm not going to church anymore because there are a bunch of hypocrites at church. Well, then don't go to Walmart. Don't go anywhere. You're going to find sinners everywhere. And you are one of them. And there's things that happen. And when people quit on God and they quit serving God, I'm not going to go knock on doors anymore because the door got slammed on my face. I can't count how many times the door got slammed on my face. I'm not going to continue going soul winning because nobody else is going. Or it's not as fun. I don't want to go there yet. Talking about discouragements. I don't want to keep teaching a Sunday school class or a junior church class because something's discouraging. I don't go to church because they didn't shake my hand. Maybe they just coughed in their hand. You know, they're actually being considerate of you. Maybe they have a headache that day. Maybe they're mad because someone didn't shake their hand. So they're walking out the door, walking right by you. I don't know. I'm just saying. There could be a number of reasons. You know? Maybe they're like me and they're blonde in the brain and don't realize some things that they're doing sometimes. That's why I lost my hair, because it's blonde. You know? Who knows? But discouragement didn't stop God. Unfairness didn't stop Jesus from dying on the cross for your sins. And Jesus said, on a more serious note, if I'm going through it, you're going to go through it. If I'm being persecuted, you're going to be persecuted. Don't stop because you got discouraged. Because that's discouraging. And you're discouraging somebody else. It's a discouragement to your life. It's a discouragement to your family. It's really a discouragement to God. The Bible says we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. They endured that. Something else they endured is unfounded accusations in verse 27. When they had brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Sometimes well-intentioned, sincere Christian servants are falsely accused. Sometimes you're well-intentioned and you're falsely accused. Your motives are questioned. Your actions are viewed with skepticism. It's painful. Condemnation is painful. And it wasn't easy for Jesus Christ. It wasn't easy for his disciples, his apostles. It won't be easy for you. Even from your own church family, from your own personal family, there might be some things that come against you that just hurt. And people will literally fabricate accusations against others. But Paul, throughout his ministry, had to deal with this. And Paul responded to the Roman court in Acts 24, verse 13. He said, "Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me." In other words, if it's not true, it's not true. Don't worry about it. All right? God's word exposes the sources of those things. And Peter encouraged us to keep a clear mindset. 1 Peter 3:16. Here's what it comes down to. I want you to turn there, please. 1 Peter 3:16. In the midst of trouble, of hardship, of discouragement, of something that's unfair in your life, And this may not be directly related to you. Maybe your difficulty, your obstacle isn't false accusation from somebody, but false accusation is a difficulty. And so this can apply to anything that we're facing in our lives. But 1 Peter 3:16 says this, having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation of Christ. Peter is saying this, if you have a good conscience, if you know that what they're accusing you of is wrong, it's not true, you're, can I say, innocent, all you're doing is what God wants to, you're just living for the Lord, you can have a good conscience in that situation. And all that will do is when these accuse you, they call them evildoers, they're ashamed because they falsely accuse you and your good conversation in Christ. It actually makes them look bad. Romans talks about heaping coals of fire on their head. And what it's referring to is this. You're just living right. You're doing good to them that despitefully use you. It tells us to love our enemies, right? It tells us to go the extra mile for others. It tells us to do those things, to continue praying for them and to do good to them that despitefully use you. And what's going to happen is it heaps coals of fire on their head. It just kind of burns. It sears. It's just like it. Maybe it infuriates them, you know. Somebody says, I hate you. And you say, I love you, brother. Ooh, you know, heaps coals of fire on their head. That's what Peter is talking about here. And look at verse 40 of Acts chapter 5. We'll put all these thoughts together here. It says, and to him they agreed. What are you talking about? Well, in the story, Gamaliel gets up and he says to the his council, he says, hold up, guys. Listen, I'm paraphrasing a lot here. I'm just kind of telling the story. He says, they didn't say hold up back then. But he says, hold up, guys. Ease off. Give him some space. It actually says that he wanted to give him space. Because if this, what he's doing here, if it be of men, it will end. He gave some examples of some people who had a following, who had an upright, a crowd of people. And well, it was man-made. God wasn't behind it. And eventually it ended. Some of them died. But then he says, but if this be of God, there is nothing you can do about it. You can't stop it. And he was absolutely right. It was wise. He was absolutely right. And so he gets up here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. And after he said that, verse 40, it says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, just for good measure, let's beat them. I mean, you're not going to stop it, but let's beat them anyways. So, and they had called the apostles and beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. We ought to be thankful for the freedom that we have in America today to meet like we are today. Because there are some, even today, in other countries that cannot. And we ought to take advantage of the opportunities that God has given us. Not take it for granted. And may those of us who are living in the 21st century respond properly to the freedoms that we enjoy. First, we ought to be thankful. And we ought to take advantage of every opportunity we have to serve and witness for our Lord. And when these disciples didn't even have the opportunities. I mean, just the slightest opportunity that came, they took advantage of it. Here's an opportunity to preach. I'm sitting before a council, and I'm about to be thrown in prison, possibly killed. And, here's an opportunity for me to speak in the name of the Lord and to be a witness for him, and not to try to defend myself, but to honor God with my life. Our desire ought to be to honor God. These things that they endured here, unfair arrest and unfounded accusation and really abuse that they went through was not right. But the most powerful way to have an impact on others is just simply to be faithful to God. And they were able to have an impact. Look at verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the Senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. They didn't know at that point that they were in the temple speaking and preaching. And so we talked about their circumstances, but now we just notice their companion. See, to be faithful, there has to be circumstances. That's what the word implies. When you say, I've been faithful, that implies you were faithful through something. But they weren't alone in what they went through. They had a companion. In the circumstances they were faithful to, they had a companion along their journey of faithfulness. And when your desire is to honor God in your circumstances, you have a companion. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit who's taken up residence in your heart if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And as you're going through the circumstances of your life, praise God, you have a companion through it all. Even when you feel like you're alone, if you're saved, you're not alone. You're not alone. And notice what happened as a result of the companionship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's amazing. And just as for other men in the Bible, I think of Daniel. I think of Daniel in the lion's den. I think of Peter, went through difficulties. I think of Paul. I think of others. I can't help but think of their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace. But there was a fourth man there, and that was Jesus. And in this situation, God physically sent his angel to deliver his servants. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. 2 Timothy 3:11, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, this is Paul speaking, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And we must never forget God's promise attached to the Great Commission. And lo, I am with you. How often? Always. Even unto the end of the earth. And that night, God set the apostles free from the prison in Jerusalem. And it's encouraging because he is just as present in your life and just as willing in your life to accompany you through your seasons, through your difficulties, through your trials, through your circumstances, through your obstacles that he looks at as opportunities. And we've got to remember what Psalm 46:1 says. God is our refuge and a very present help in time of trouble. Paul recalled a similar moment in his life. Go to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, but it's okay. Verse 16 is kind of tough, but it's okay because verse 17 is great. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me, the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God's with you. If you're serving him, if you're trying to honor him, them that honor me, I will honor. That's one of the ways. You have his presence. You have his help. But it didn't stop there. He intervened. He intervened. Christ intervened. The angel of the Lord showed up and delivered them out of prison. But he didn't just say, I'm going to bless you. He said, no, You have a responsibility right now. Look at verse 20 of our text, Acts chapter 5, verse 20. Here's a responsibility. Don't quit. Here's a responsibility. Don't give up. Don't stop serving. Continue being faithful. He says, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. But I was just thrown in prison for that. Go do it again. God didn't free the apostles from prison so they can run and hide. God doesn't bless your life so you can do nothing for him. God doesn't continue loving you so you can just sit and receive love and soak it up like a sponge. He freed them so they could resume their ministry of teaching and preaching the gospel. And when you were freed from sin, you received a great benefit, no doubt about it, but you weren't made free only for your benefit. You were set free so you might speak for and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Romans 6:22, turn there please, Romans 6:22. Let's go look at the very first part of this verse. You might want to underline this or highlight this as a reminder of why you're breathing today. Why you're here. Romans 6:22 says, but now being made free from sin, praise the Lord for that, and become servants to God. So that brings us to the last thing. We've looked at the circumstances and their companion, but then look at their character. They exhibited their faithfulness in three ways. Look at verse 27. After they got their commission of verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to all people in the words of this life. Verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. If we get nothing else out of the message this morning, if all we get is this, that we are challenged as a church family to go out to our places that God has placed us and speak in his name, it is worth it. Amen. If we go from here, and we go out there, and we remember to serve God and speak in his name. If God's word, I don't know how many people are here this morning, maybe 40-something, I don't know. But if God's word is preached 40 different times, praise God. Praise God. And if then we take a couple opportunities to do so, that's 80. Plus, maybe there's 50 in here. That's 100. Don't start counting. Stop it. All right? Stop it. Take three opportunities. That triples it. I'm good at math. See that? Four opportunities quadruples it. Pretty soon, we've got a couple hundred people that have heard the gospel, or at least we've attempted it. Can you take four opportunities this week to tell somebody about Christ? Think you can do that? Because the first characteristic we see of them is they resisted being silenced. A past situation, actually a chapter before, in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, when Peter and John said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, they wouldn't be silenced. And this scenario reveals God's perspective on matters like this, because Romans 13 does tell us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And Peter encouraged Christians, yes, to submit to governmental authority. He did. That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. However ungodly they may be. In fact, 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are set by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And whenever possible, we are to taught to obey the authorities in our lives, though obedience may be inconvenient, it might be costly, it might be painful. We are taught to obey the governmental authorities in our lives. However, when there arises a situation in which we must choose between obeying man and obeying God, we must choose God. We must. And so they continued. They resisted being silenced. By the way, don't let an intimidating coworker or gruff neighbor or even a Christian who says holier than thou silence your witness. Keep witnessing. And in verse 40, we had read this part. And then they agreed, and when they had called the apostles to meet them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council. Who did? The disciples, the apostles that were beaten. They departed from the presence of the council, saying, my grandma can hit harder than that. No, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. This may be one of the most interesting passages in the Word of God. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. They loved it. Now, I'm sorry. Some of you may get mad at me for this, and it's fine. We can have our differences. I sat down and watched Kung Fu Panda with my kids one time. Seen it a couple times. And when the panda is getting beat by the master, he goes, ooh, I love it. Ooh, yeah, that was great. Do it again. Ooh, yeah. I kind of picture the apostles. Boom, thank you, Jesus. Oh, suffering for Jesus. You know, beaten, released, rejoicing. Obviously, it was not the suffering itself they enjoyed, but the opportunity to identify with their Savior who had done so much for them, and it gave them an opportunity to demonstrate their loyalty to Him. Every time, this is for God. Every time, I'm reminded Jesus was whipped for me. I can imagine this. Every time they're beaten, Jesus was beaten for me. He did this for me so I could have a home in heaven. I owe my life to Him. And they rejoiced in suffering. Maybe you're suffering this morning for some other way. Maybe you're going through a difficulty. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 4 says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I think of Paul, and this isn't related to persecutions or sufferings for Christ's name, but Paul had a thorn in the flesh. But he says, I would rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's because this suffering causes me to fall down at the feet of Jesus. This difficulty causes me to spend more time with Christ. If it wasn't for this difficulty, I would be more dependent on myself and less dependent on God. It causes me to pray. It causes me to trust. It causes me to walk in faith. It causes me to look to Jesus, lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. We got to remember that. Our help comes from God, not our own strength, not our bank account, not the government for sure. It doesn't necessarily come from the church unless God's working through the church to help meet our need, but it comes from God. And we need to be reminded of that. Glory in our infirmities so that we can have God's power on our lives. In other words, I would rather have the struggle and God's power than not to have the struggle and not have God's power. So, they refused to stop is the last thing in Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they said, okay, guys, that's enough. We're done. We've served the Lord for this many years. I'm old. I've done my part. It's time for some other person to serve the Lord. No, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That reveals the faithful character. Character God has called us to emulate. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And if you don't remain faithful, Let's look at the contrary. Tired of people pushing me to be faithful. Tired of pastor preaching on faithfulness. Okay, fine. If you don't be faithful, who does that affect? If you don't be faithful, who doesn't get saved? Who doesn't come to church that you would have invited? Who doesn't hear the gospel that you would have witnessed? What child, teenage son, daughter that you have, or another that you might have an impact on, or younger children, if you aren't faithful, how does that affect their life? How does it affect somebody else? It affects us. Seriously, it affects me that you're here. You're here, faithful to church. That has an effect on me, and that has an effect on the person sitting next to you. And if that seat was empty, then you no longer have that effect. It affects us when we serve others. If you stop teaching a Sunday school class or a junior church class, the kids, how are they affected? If you stop going soul winning, the souls behind those doors, you get the idea. If you stop giving the missions, you're not just affecting the missionary. You're affecting the work of the missionary and the people that you can reach or she. When people speak of those who have impacted their lives, a common characteristic seems to surface, and that is faithfulness. Somebody said this, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Honor God with your faithfulness. Them that honor me, I will honor. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we know that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've called us to be faithful. You've called me to be faithful. It's my desire to continue to serve you and to please you with my life, to honor you. It's my desire to be faithful. And I know it affects not just me, it affects my wife, it affects my kids, it affects people at Northwest Baptist Church, it affects those I work with, I live near. It affects my extended family. But Lord, my faithfulness to you ought not to just be for those reasons or because of the benefits and blessings that I get. We're grateful for those. But Lord, you deserve my faithfulness. You deserve my commitment to you. So Lord, however you're working the service this morning, would you help us as God's people to respond? Maybe somebody is just now realizing how faithful you are and they need to put their faith and trust in you as a personal Savior. Whatever the need may be, Lord, may we respond at this time.